Welcome to the Fitbox Podcast. This is your host, Joseph Frankie. Glad you're here listening. On our podcast, we talk about two main things. First and foremost, we interview members of Fitbox so that way you can hear their stories about how they're repaying debt, how they're saving for retirement, buying homes, all this type of stuff, really to give you motivation and some different ideas. That's the first thing we talk about. The second thing our podcast do is we take individual finance topics and go through them in more detail so that way you can say, does this apply to me and how does this apply to my plan? So if you have questions or you want to sign up for Fitbox, you can do so in the show notes, fitbox.com, build your profile, schedule a call. We'll be talking to you soon. Enjoy the episode.
I've been privileged to help over 20,000 young professionals navigate their finances. And of course, as you guys know, the biggest problem most of you face is your student loan. And today, we're going to be talking about one of the biggest mistakes we've been seeing over the last 6 months, and that's people choosing save versus pay as you earn. Now, specifically, we're going to go in, this episode's for everybody, okay? But specifically, we're going to go into a high income earner to illustrate how this Fitbox member was about to make a mistake and how she corrected it and literally saved tens of thousands of dollars. Now, like I said, this example is a high earner, but this podcast episode is still for everybody, and if you're watching on YouTube, it's for you as well, because it highlights just one of the mistakes and how people are going on to save. Now, those of you that are new to the channel, if you're watching on YouTube or new to the podcast, I'm Joseph Ranke, founder of Fitbox, where we take pride in empowering young professionals. We've managed over $2.6 billion in assets and debt for them, and our mission is to transform this journey of like personal finance from you having to do it by yourself to a community, a shared success. And we value simplicity, we value trust, we value that power of that community. So before we dive deeper into this episode, thank you for joining us. If you're on YouTube, be sure to subscribe to the channel, hit that notification bell, share this with your friends. If you're on the podcast, subscribe as well. It helps the channel grow, get the word out, it helps friends, it also helps you. So thank you in advance. Let's dig into the episode. Now, I'm going to give you some background on this Fitbox member. I'm not going to use any names. Again, legal reasons, we have to make sure that we don't disclose any personal information with people, all right? But this Fitbox member, she started with us 4 years ago, okay? And she was a medical student, okay? Now, when she first came to us, her big thing was that she didn't know if she was going to be staying at a nonprofit long term or eventually switching and paying off her student loans. And so because of that, she strategically went on to revised pay as you earn, because then there would be interest forgiveness on some of the interest that she was not paying when she was in repay, when she had a low income. Those of you that don't know, they would forgive some of the interest on those plans. So that's why she did that. Long story short, her balance would be lower when she went to go make payments. Okay. Well, fast forward to today, she's now a resident. She's making about $80,000 per year. She has about $150,000 to $160,000 in federal student loans. And by the time she wraps up her residencies and fellowships and whatnot, she is going to have about 5.5 years towards public service loan forgiveness. And she has now realized that she will be staying at the nonprofit. So she's basically going to have about 4.5 years to get public service loan forgiveness. Okay. Now, this is where the story gets interesting, because this is where, when I said, you know, this specific example is about a high income earner, it's actually same thing applies to high income households. Okay. High income, we basically consider having over $200,000 per year. Okay. She is engaged, and her fiance, they're getting married this year, and her fiance makes about $200,000 per year. And so because of that, they are going to file their taxes separately in 2024. So that way her payment continues to stay low until she's done with her residency. Okay. So that's just a little bit of the background on this Fitbox member. Now, okay, first things first, before we get into the student loan issue of save versus pay as you earn, one of the first mistakes that she was making is something that we've seen a lot the last 2 months. And that is when you are filing your taxes separately, You cannot contribute directly to a Roth IRA. And this is something people don't think about when they're getting married. So in this person's example, she is contributing to a Roth IRA right now, but she's not getting married till later in the year. And so it's like either A, they don't know about this rule, or B, they know about it, but they're like, well, I'm single now. I'll change it once I get married. The IRS doesn't work like that. Okay. He is getting married in this tax year, 2024, which means that the whole year, the IRS looks at those contributions. You can't just magically switch and not do it anymore once you're married. They look at the full calendar year. So the way she has to do it is do what's called a backdoor Roth IRA. And if you're watching on YouTube, I'll put a link up to backdoor Roth IRA videos. Also at the end, there's a playlist for anybody that's on an income driven repayment plan that goes into details of all these different things. One of those videos is the backdoor Roth IRA as well. If you're listening on the podcast, I'll put the link in the descriptions. But basically a backdoor high levels, you open up a traditional IRA, put the money in there after taxes, and then you also open up a Roth IRA and you convert it. So you can't just do a straight contribution to it. If you're married filing separately and you do make a contribution to your Roth IRA, you will be fined. Okay. And the fines can get pretty steep. And it's not fun, right? You don't want to lose money. So that was the first thing. Now on to the student loans. Okay. Because she was on revised pay as you earn, they got rid of revised pay as you earn, and it's now the new SAVE program that the Biden administration rolled out. Okay. Now her staying on it as a resident is not that big of a deal. It actually helps her because they're supposed to be forgiving the interest on that. It's supposed to be 100% interest subsidy, which as of the date of this recording, they still haven't forgiven anything, or, you know, then done an interest subsidy. So nobody's seen that yet, but that's the theory. So in theory, she's doing the right thing. All right. Now here is where the mistake comes. And this is what we see a lot of people doing. They read some cookie cutter thing on the internet and it's like, well, that's my situation. I'm staying on SAVE. So like in her case, the general advice that people are out there seeing is if you have a master's degree or doctorate, okay, it makes sense to stay on pay as you earn because of the extra 5 years that's on SAVE. But if you're going for public service loan forgiveness, it makes sense to go on SAVE. Why? Because the monthly payment is lower. But that's why I hate saying there's cookie cutter advice. This is the two situations because it doesn't make sense, especially in this case. This is where different things come into play. Okay. Her income in about 1 year from now is going to be between $250,000 a year and $350,000 a year. Okay, so I'll use the midpoint of $300,000 a year in this example. Okay, if she stays on SAVE, there's no payment cap. So when her income goes up, even though she's filing separately, her payment's going to be about $2,200 per month. Therefore, she would pay about $100,000 over the next 4 years and only have about $50,000 forgiven underneath PSLF. Okay, this is where you have to be strategic. Pay as you earn has a payment cap based on the standard 10-year payment plan. In short, her would be capped at about $1,600 a month. Okay. Therefore, she only has to pay about $76,000 over those same 4 years, and she saves about $75,000 from PSLF instead of $50,000. That's a good amount of money. $25,000 saved over the next, you know, 4 years, you turn around, you reinvest that for 20 or 30 years, it's a couple hundred thousand dollars that you just saved, okay? Not only that, but also she's going to probably want to buy a house. So her lower monthly payment on her student loans is, again, going to make it easier for her to qualify for that house when she's in repayment, okay? So these are things that are strategic. And the reason why this is so important with save versus pay as you earn, because pay as you earn is going to go away this summer of 2024. After June, you can't go on it. So all of you that are trying to make this decision right now, you have to do it right now. Okay. Now, the other aspect of this, okay, has to do more with just making your life simple when it comes to money. Pay as you earn is going away except for those that are already on it. Okay. Save there's a good chance that it's going to go away within the next 1 to 5 years. What do I mean by that? It's an executive order. It wasn't done through Congress. So this November, President Biden wins, or President Trump wins, it's most likely going to be gone. Like that. Even if President Trump doesn't win, and in 4 years from now, a Republican wins office, or even a Democrat, they might turn around and completely get rid of SAVE and say, no, this was not done correctly. Okay. So long story short, for a lot of us in the student loan arena, we are saying there's going to be a major headache potentially down the road if you're on SAVE. So in this example, this FitBucks member was like, wait, I save money. It helps me qualify for a house. And even if they change all these things, I don't have to worry about it. Fantastic. I'm going on pay as you earn. Okay. And about 80% of people that we work with, when they actually go through this type of analysis, pay as you earn is the better way to go. So as we wrap up this short episode today, I want this story to serve as a reminder of this intricate dance that we do with financial planning. Okay. It would be the Roth IRA, backdoor Roth IRA, student loan strategy, home buying. That all plays a pivotal role in crafting your financial clarity and financial freedom as you move forward. And having that clear picture, it really reduces your stress because it's like, look, this is exactly what I need to do. You're not guessing anymore. Okay, so for those of you that are navigating this world of student loans and home buying and investments, I invite you to explore like our playlist dedicated to income-driven payment plans. But subscribe to the FitBucks channel. Become part of our community. Subscribe. Get notifications when other types of stuff come out, like home buying, financial planning, all that type of stuff. And I know a lot of you, like listening on the podcast especially, are already FitBucks members. Thank you very much. If you're not a FitBucks member already, be sure to sign up. Get help. Again, that's what the community is for. It's affordable. It's built for young professionals. It's technology plus financial experts. Whenever you have questions, let us know. We'll talk to you guys soon. See you later.